Steam Ace Vingan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie, Derek, and I are broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall. Head up here and watch the Chiefs-Jaguars Monday Night Football game tonight, plus find out more details on Circus' giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game this weekend. Gentlemen, I want to start the show by reintroducing two words that have not been next to each other in quite some time. Titans win. The Titans indeed won yesterday in what I would describe as the best worst football game I've ever watched. The Titans rallied to defeat the Arizona Cardinals 22-21. And as I watched this game, guys, as I saw Joey Sly kick the game-winning field goal, and let's all be honest with ourselves. Raise your hand if you thought Joey Sly was going to miss that field goal. I'll be honest with you.
From 29 yards out, you thought
he missed an extra point earlier in the game.
That's 34 yards out. 33 yards out.
Nevertheless,
it did veer right pretty quick.
It was close.
Yeah,
it was
fairly
close.
But
After the game-winning field goal swept through, I'm hearing myself there. There we go. Once the game-winning field goal made it through the uprights, my first reaction was, "What the hell was that?" In terms of what the hell did I just watch? It was such an ugly game, but the beauty of that ugly game was that we finally got to see Cam Ward in a high-pressure situation, and he delivered. Fourth quarter, 13 of 18 for 193 yards. He did throw an interception, which turned into a touchdown for the Titans somehow. And then, of course, two-minute drill, 5 of 6, 67 yards, and led the Titans down the field for that game-winning field goal. So we are going to talk about Cam Ward from all angles. The fact that Cam Ward engineered a game-winning drive doesn't erase what we saw from Cam Ward in the first three quarters. And it was rough, and we will talk about that. But let's start positively, because quite frankly, how often have we been able to talk positively about the Tennessee Titans? So, Willie, we'll start with you. What impressed you most about what Cam Ward did with the game on the line, being able to drive the Titans down the field for their first win in nearly a calendar year?
I think it was impressive that he went through the struggles and was still able to stay level-headed enough, stay poised enough to hit some big ones there. I thought for the first time, probably did an adequate job of protecting him most of the day, and they definitely did late. He had, I think I went back and rewatched the game this morning. He had 85 yards passing with, I think, about 11 minutes to go in the game. So for three-plus quarters, he was under 100 yards passing. And so when you have those numbers, like I know when I was a basketball player, if I was 1-for-8 from the field or a batter that's 0-for-4, that fifth at bat, it's hard to have confidence, right? He stayed confident, and he did his best work. I thought the most positive thing, D-Mace, was that he showed a level where you said to yourself, okay, those are some wow throws. That's what a first-round pick or a high first-round pick is supposed to look like.
Can you hear me? I can't hear myself. To me, they showed a lot of resilience, I believe. A lot of, just heart in that game. They didn't give up. And I think what epitomized all of that was L'Jarius Sneed, the hustle with L'Jarius Sneed. Whether he touched the ball or not, I think the hustle sort of exemplified what they, sort of what that, after that, what that whole thing was about. Not giving up, determining, being determined, to get the job done. He didn't have to chase that guy from behind. We've dumped on L'Jarius Sneed all season from the standpoint of his play. Not him as a person, but his play. And frankly, warranted at times. If I'm going to talk loud about his play being bad, I'm going to talk even louder about what he showed out there Sunday. Because a losing team, see, I think what people, that play right there, what it showed me, whether they won or lost that game, when people start to question whether these athletes are, you know, are giving up, yeah, or these athletes, or do they call, do they even care? They make all this, do they, L'Jarius Sneed was on the other side of the field. Had he just trotted it, wouldn't nobody said anything? That guy was clearly gone. Had he not tried, if he trotted and halfway, wouldn't nobody said anything? But he didn't do that. You saw him kick it in another gear because his mind was, it ain't over till it's over. Once that happened, that was the whole team's mindset. It ain't over till it's over. And that team fought back. Was it pretty? No. But at the end of the day, a win is a win. They don't go back and say, well, you had a pretty win. You had an ugly win. You know, this happened, that. No, they say you won. Do they got to get better in a lot of areas? Absolutely. That first half was bad. And some of it was Cam. But I don't know how people could look at the game, like really watch the game and look and say and blame some of these things that are going on in Cam Ward. Like I'm listening to Archuleta last night, and there were two balls dropped, one to Lockett, and I think the other one was to Iomanner or
Helm.
Yeah. And he's made it seem like it was Cam's fault. Well, he needs to be. Yeah. That was a perfect pass in a tight window.
The one you're talking about was the one to Iomanner.
Exactly. It was a tight window. That's what quarterbacks get paid to do, throw it in tight window. They don't get paid to throw it when the windows are as big as the sea. No, any quarterback can do that. They get paid to throw it in those tight windows. And that's what he was doing. Those guys didn't show up for him in the first half. And he did miss one. Actually, I think it was two corner routes to DK. Well, I know one was to DK. That would have been a huge game. He overthrew him. But after that, I think he started to settle in. And guys, I said this at the beginning. This is a team that doesn't have much top-end talent. This is a team where they're going to be building for a while. But they do have some good players. And those good players need to play good all the time. They need to build. And that's what they were not doing for three quarters. They wasn't helping them out. And then once they start catching the ball, Ridley, Helm,
Chig.
Once they start catching the ball, making plays, those are the guys that the only way we're going to win is if y'all pick up the slack and do your job. If you don't do your job, we have no chance at winning. We're not a good team. We're not a team that can, you know, we're not the Baltimore Ravens, even though they're bad right now,
they're bad because their six highest paid players were all out yesterday.
All of them. Yeah. But if Derrick Henry plays bad, they got enough good players around Derrick Henry to say, okay, we're good. We're still going to win. They still may beat you by 30 points. The Titans are nowhere near that. So the good players have to play good. And Calvin Ridley, I've always said this. It's not about making every catch, because every wide receiver ain't going to make every catch, but you got to make the catches that count. And yesterday he did that.
Can we just take a moment to recognize the Arizona Cardinals? If you are selling We Ass Titans t-shirts, can you please direct some of the proceeds to the Arizona Cardinals? Because they too are ass. And this has sort of been the Cardinals' thing this season, but that team would have been up 27-6, pending the extra point, if the running back would have just carried the ball over the goal line. Derek, I can only imagine how much your blood was boiling watching that. And is it DeMarcado? He's not the only player who's been doing that recently. I think it happened the week before, maybe A.D. Mitchell in Indianapolis may have done it the week before.
It's astonishing how often that happens, and I can't figure why. It happens in college. It happens in the pros. Would you say in the last 10 years, it's happened on an average of about once a year? And it should never happen, ever.
Yes,
it's not forced.
Especially when you got replay and they can go back and watch it over and over again. Every team at the beginning of the year, they should just show like 30.
String them all together.
No, they should show 30 clips of Barry Sanders scoring an end zone. Barry Sanders, what did he used to do? Score and just get a ball to the refs. He didn't drop it. He didn't spike it. Barry gave the ball to the refs. Take that mentality. I'm not saying get a ball to the refs, but carry the ball all the way in the end zone. And for some reason, they just don't do it. But, hey, their loss, Titans game.
And I know that win probability statistics can be a bit sketchy sometimes, but the NFL tweeted this out yesterday. The Titans' average win probability of 12.1% in that game against the Cardinals is the lowest average win probability in a win since at least 2016.
It got to 12% win at one point in the game.
The average win probability was at 12.1% over the course of the entire game. Their average win probability.
I guess
was 12,
I don't understand
1.1%.
That because doesn't isn't it? I've seen graphs where it fluctuates throughout. Like, and if there's when they were down 21-3, I'm sure it was down there.
Well, I don't have a PhD in mathematics, so unfortunately, I can't explain it that far.
It wasn't 12% when they had the ball with 4 minutes left. I'm curious at what the low point was and what the high point was.
It was as low as 1.8%.
There you go. See, that's what I want to know exactly when it was 1.8.
So the NFL is arguing that this was the most improbable win of the past 9 years. Is basically what that's saying.
Improbable is a good word, I would say, based on a couple of things that happened in that game.
So
I love how Gene Steratore talked about the ABA. Team A has the ball, then Team B has the ball, then Team A gets the ball back.
And
fortunately, the Titans
were
Team A, and they got the ball back in the end zone.
That was, by the way, that play was the first time since 2009 when a team scored a touchdown on a play when they threw an interception. The Saints did it versus Washington in Week 13 of 2009. Robert Meacham, Tennessee Vol, if I'm not mistaken, stripped Kareem Moore and returned a fumble 44 yards for a touchdown. So Drew Brees, I believe, was picked off. Meacham stripped the player who intercepted the ball and then took it back for a touchdown. I think that's how it went. Just like they drew it up. 615-737-1025. We want your reaction to the Titans win, something we haven't been able to discuss much around here lately. 22-21 against the Arizona Cardinals. Your thoughts on the crunch time performance of Cam Ward. 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you all show long. Our phone and text lines, of course, are always driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from queso to kickoff. This is how Macero does game night. Macero football Mondays in 12th South. Don't miss a snap.
For you personally to come back when it mattered, you know, after a bit of a tough start, to come back and play the way you did, like, how big is that for you personally?
It's really not that big to me, honestly. I played well previously in my career. I just got to be consistent at it. I think the second half, I really saw the field better. In terms of just getting the ball out, letting my guys make plays. And I think Chig and Gunner, the Titans, they did that along with the receiving corps.
That was Cam Ward yesterday after engineering a game-winning drive for his first NFL win, 22-21 against the Arizona Cardinals. By the way, Kyler Murray described it after the game as, quote, "how to lose a game 101," end quote. I mean, between the running back dropping the ball before he crossed the goal line, Kyler Murray getting donked in the face with a snap. What else happened in that game that I missed?
Well, those three plays right there. I mean, think about the context of when these things happen, too. It's all three. Mm-hmm. You could just use those three. But the unforgivable drop the ball, lay the ball out before you cross the goal line, that's 28-6 if he does that. Then the snap that hit Kyler Murray in the helmet. Like, there used to be this great film. I don't know if NFL Films still does football follies, but you could have had a whole reel of football follies in this game. But Kyler Murray, at the time he got hit with that snap that he wasn't expecting, and he fumbles it and the Titans recover, they're about to go in and score. They're minimum going to get a field goal. And they had done well in the red zone in that game. So they're not only giving the ball up, they're sacrificing points there, and then the ABA play. I'm thinking of the Flint Tropics, the ABA, Will Ferrell, Jackie Moon.
Semi-pro.
But those three plays, I mean, that's enormous points right there. That's the improbability. I mean, that's why I'm curious about the low point. Or I don't know where they hit the low 1.8%? Probability. Yeah, the 1.8% that was in there somewhere.
That's a good question. Let's get your reaction on our text line, 615-737-1025. One texter says, he was at the game. He looked horrid, Cam Ward, that is, in the first three quarters, but the fourth quarter was dynamic. Another texter says, if you saw the guys on the sideline and how they were still talking and being together, you can't tell me this team does not want to play and fight for Coach Callahan. It's too many youngsters still learning and finding their way. We are going to be okay. May just take a couple of years, so buckle up and take the ride. Now, that is one thing that I will put in Brian Callahan's corner. And, Derek, you've mentioned this in the past, but I think it was evident yesterday. Brian Callahan certainly has his shortcomings as an NFL head coach. I would venture to guess that unless the Titans engineer an incredible turnaround over the rest of the season, he is not going to be the head coach of this team at the end of the season. But one thing that you cannot say is that his players have quit on him, because there were plenty of opportunities, not just yesterday, but over the past 5 weeks, where if the team wanted to roll over, it could have. But the fact that they rebounded, and yes, some of you have texted this, let's make it clear. The Cardinals played just as big of a role in the Titans' win as the Titans did. The Titans benefited from the Cardinals, for lack of a better phrase, throwing up all over themselves. The Titans benefited from that. But one thing that you can't say about Brian Callahan, he deserves a lot of criticism. But you can't say, Derek, that his players have quit on him.
No, I don't think you can. I think a lot of it was evident on how hard they fought. You know, to even when, you know, it seemed like everything was done. You're going in for what would have been a crushing touchdown. It probably would have ended the game. But you got guys still hustling out there. And for whatever reason, the football guys said, because of your hustle, I am going to grant you said wish. And that wish is a fumble. And that's what they got, a fumble touchback. And you go the other way. See, what people got to understand is this. You say that the Cardinals basically gave it the ball away. Well, the Titans gave the ball away, too. They had two turnovers. They turned the ball over twice. Again, it ended up working out where, you know, they still end up minus one, but it sort of evened itself out because the fumble led to a touchdown, which led to another touchdown field goal, and they ended up winning the game. But I think this was about a team continuing to fight. Not that Arizona gave them the game. They fought and took the game because they still had to go down and score. That's what people fail to realize. They hadn't done anything for a whole 2.5 quarters, basically three. But they still had to go out there and run those same tired-ass plays that y'all have been talking about. And you know what happened? They started to work. They continued to fight, chip away, chip away, chip away. And what happens when you chip away and you continue to fight? And you become, like some coordinator said, you become sort of, don't get bored with doing the boring things. That's what Cam Ward didn't get. You get bored with doing, taking the checkdowns. He did try to force a ball in there. But even that ball, after I watched it, it was tipped. And I know who he was going to. And he didn't get to that guy because the ball was tipped. End up getting an interception, but they end up getting it back. But this team continued to fight. And if they can play this way, or halfway this way, if that even makes sense. But if they can give half the effort, let's say, that they gave yesterday, then this team is going to be better off moving forward. I'm not saying they're going to sit here and win every game, because they probably end up losing next week. I hope they don't. But knowing the Titans, like they did last year, had a big win. What did they do? Came back and got their tails kicked. And they blamed it on the big high from the last week. Well, I hope that doesn't happen this time.
I mean, by the way, the Titans' next opponent, the Las Vegas Raiders, lost 40-6 to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. So two teams coming off of much different experiences just this Sunday in Las Vegas.
I just checked the line on that. What do you think it is? The early line.
Raiders by
Titans at Raiders.
Raiders by 4.5.
I would say 5.5.
Adam is right. 4.5 as we sit here today. We'll see if that fluctuates, but I'm curious. It did. I asked Adam this question. Adam and I watched the game yesterday, and I said, this Cardinals team was the weakest team that they had played so far, I think, talent-wise, going into the game. Mm, even though the Cardinals record, you know, they played, you just mentioned, they've lost some heartbreakers here. They're just a couple of bounces here and there. They probably feel like they should be better than they are, but I don't look at that team. They had some injury issues too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're missing some guys. That was an opportunity for the Titans, and like you said, Derek, it was weird. Mm-hmm. They were fortunate, but they found a way. I look at the Raiders, and then you got the Patriots, who are coming off a huge win.
Mm-hmm.
But the next two games, I think, are, along with this Cardinals game, are a pretty good gauge of where is the roster.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing against a little bit of a weaker opponent than you did, I think, the first four. Because I think the Texans are showing that they were 0-3 when they played the Titans, but they've still got a lot that they're bringing to the table.
They opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Ravens.
Yeah,
Cody has an interesting question, and we will get more into this over the course of the program. How do the Titans unlock the Cam Ward we saw in the last 8.5 minutes of the game? Prior to that, Ward's footwork, not taking what is given, holding the ball, and not running killed the offense.
What did you think, D-Mace, of the they tried to diversify their formations? We have talked about this for a couple weeks, but they started doing it yesterday. A lot more under center in the first half. They seemed to be committed to the running game early. They kind of tailed off, and of course they got behind. It's hard to keep running. But they used more big formations, two tight ends, sometimes three tight ends. They used Julius Chestnut as a fullback, two back sets. I hadn't seen that all year. And so did you think that set the table? Is that something they can build off of? Even though they didn't score a whole lot, it seems like when they went shotgun behind, they started slinging it and it started working.
I think they're able now, and this is why I think Tajay Spears is going to be so important moving forward, because now they can use two back sets with he and Pollard in the game, and still be able to run the football or pass the football with the outlet being the running back, and then you leave a running back in there that is capable of blocking one of these guys that comes off the edge. And then offensive line, I think they got underneath center. The offensive line showed yesterday that they were able to handle the Cardinals' defensive line. They did a wonderful job, and I'm going to call it wonderful because prior to that it wasn't, so I'm going to give them their props. They did a wonderful job at blocking for Cam and giving him time to throw, and that shows you that if this kid has time to throw, he's going to look good and the team's going to be able to flourish. But, yeah, you're right. They did multiple sets, different personnels. I think what is starting to happen now, hopefully, is that the OC and Cam are building a relationship, game time relationship. And what I mean by game time relationship is calling the plays for him. Like, he wasn't, prior to that, yeah, they had a relationship, but it wasn't like that serious, intimate relationship. The intimate relationship is when I got to call plays for you, game time. I think the more that grows, I think the better this team will be. And it might just work out whether, again, I'm not saying they're going to sit here and go on a five-game win streak, but this might work out from this standpoint. If he continues to show development, Brian Callahan gets to be a head coach. I think Brian can't call plays. I wouldn't pay him to call plays for me if I had nobody else to call. Why? Because he's never did it. And he showed when he did it, it wasn't working right. But what he is showing now that he's just taking on the role as a head coach, he seems to be settling in that role better than he settled in the role of play caller. So this may help him.
Derek, there were multiple impressive passes from Cam Ward in the fourth quarter. There was the 38-yard pass to Calvin Ridley that helped set up the game-winning field goal. But even on the drive that made it 21-12 before Joey Sly missed the extra point, Ward had a 47-yard pass to Calvin Ridley and a gorgeous pass on the sideline to Gunnar Helm. Which of those three passes, the first one to Ridley, the one to Helm, or the one to Ridley on the final drive impressed you most from Cam Wilson?
I think the one to Gunnar Hill. He had to drop that in a shoebox.
Now, what's interesting about that pass, Willie, is Cam Ward was hit as he threw that. And you wondered as we were watching the game yesterday if perhaps he put a little bit more touch on it because it was affected by the hit, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes. And it was the announcers didn't really pick up on it, I thought, in the game. To your point, D. Mace, that was not the number
Derek one. Derek Mason is not an Adam Archuleta fan. Yeah, just put it to you that way.
They seemed to be oblivious that his arm got hit. It was obvious. They were like, what a wobbly pass. Well, his arm was hit as he threw it, but it ended up having touch on it. And Brian Callahan, I thought it was interesting how he acknowledged that something that Cam needs to continue to work on is throwing more, as he called it, a more catchable ball. Mm-hmm. Remember my hypothesis. I used the big word. We don't have the bell. Ding.
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 He throws these heaters, right? And it's all on the receivers. They get two hands on it. But these high heaters where there's the window's small, so you got traffic around you and you got to haul it in, it's a high degree of difficulty. If he can put a little more touch on it as he gets better and more experience, that will help him. That one, ironically, had a little more air under it and he was able to haul it in. He had just enough space, and that was a great catch by Helm.
Yeah, Helm, you know, this is what they've been asking for, these young tight ends, because they raved about these tight ends during preseason. And, you know, that group being – one of the groups that has developed the way that they've wanted them to. So these guys have to be more involved in what's going on. And again, I think now that you have a new play caller, I think you got a new set of eyes on what you truly have. And they're going to start using, hopefully they'll start using those tight ends a lot more. But that corner, I mean, that route and that throw to Gunnar Helm was hopefully it will help one, the passing game, but it will help he and Gunnar Helm to build a rapport, because catches like that helps quarterbacks gain confidence in you, and they're going to start coming back to you more and more and more. He's going to get used to making those types of catches, so hopefully that catch in that moment propels him and Cam Ward in that connection.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on the Titans' 22-21 improbable win against the Arizona Cardinals yesterday in Glendale. 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport normally joins us at 3:40 because of his ESPN NFL Nation duties. He will join us at 4:20. So Teron Davenport, instead of 3:40, will join us later in the program at 4:20. 615-737-1025. Hey, Titans fans, you can come and hang out with the crew from 102.5 The Game at the Overhang Bar at Circa in Las Vegas. Derek Mason will be there. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin will be in Las Vegas for the Raiders-Titans game this weekend. So if you're going to the game in Las Vegas, you can hang out with the three of them at the Overhang Bar at Circa in Las Vegas. Drink specials are included, plus giveaways including two tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information.
Guys need to be able to catch balls that are in catchable range versus sometimes he seems to throw 100 miles an hour when he doesn't necessarily have to.
That's part of it. You know, there's a part of throwing catchable footballs. And he's got an unbelievably twitchy release and really natural body torque when he throws. And there's learning how to layer those throws and learning how to take a little bit off. And again, that's all part of his growth process over the course of these games. And, I thought in this game, it was really, really good, consistently throwing the ball, catchable in the spots that needed to be put in for the most part. So, again, he's still learning every time he goes out there, and he's improving every time he takes the field, and, been pretty pleased with the rate of improvement.
That was Brian Callahan earlier today talking about Cam Ward after the Titans win 22-21 against the Arizona Cardinals as Cam Ward notches his first career NFL win. Our show is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate right now at baxhomeworks.com. So not to take anything away from what Cam Ward did in the fourth quarter, because he was outstanding in the fourth quarter. Again, 13 of 18 passing, 193 yards. He did throw an interception that somehow became a touchdown. He was 5 of 6 in the two-minute drill to lead the Titans down the field for Joey Sly to hit the game-winning field goal. But before the fourth quarter, he was 8 for 21 for 72 yards. And as I was watching the game, I was thinking more and more about how his inaccuracy is becoming a glaring issue. But there's nuance to this discussion, because how much of it is on Cam Ward? How much of it is it on the offensive line and keeping Cam from being constantly under pressure? And the offensive line, by the way, did an outstanding job relative to the first 4 weeks of the season of keeping Cam from running for his life on a lot of plays. How much of it is on the receivers and their inability to catch the ball? So, Derek, when you look at Cam Ward's performance over the course of the season, because he still has the worst completion percentage of any qualified quarterback in the NFL, how much of it do you put on Cam and the way he throws the ball? How much do you put on the offensive line and protecting Cam Ward? How much do you put it on the receivers maybe not getting separation or not being able to catch catchable balls? It's again, it's nuanced. But when you're thinking about all of this, where do you place the blame first, I guess you could say?
I think everybody has their share in why this thing isn't working the way it needs to or the way they, you know, thought it would. Listen, your good players, the great players, they have to play that way majority of the time. In offense, that just hasn't happened from a receiver standpoint. He's put many balls in the hands and in the chest of receivers, and they've dropped them. That goes along with the offensive line, you know, not doing their part consistently enough to where your quarterback can find some type of peace in the pocket. That hasn't happened. And then when that has happened, when he's found peace in the pocket or the receiver has run the right route, at times, hasn't been many, not to a point where I'm concerned, he has overthrown a ball or hasn't quite connected with a receiver. Like I said, yesterday he had two corner routes that I don't think he's ever thrown to either one of the, and I think both of them were to DK on the same drive. And he overthrew both of them. I could say, well, was the receiver supposed to take it a little bit higher? Because we're taught when you're aiming for the near pylon. That's where you're aim, near to far pylon, meaning the pylon's in the end zone. When we come out of our corner break and let the quarterback lead us down, it seemed like he may have not won at the corner, but then again, Cam could have just overthrown it. I am going to lean on Cam just overthrew it. So those are instances where I think he will get better, because Brian Callahan said it. Listen, he's coming out there and he's developing each and every time he goes out there. Rarely is he making the same mistake over and over again. So that tells me that he's going to connect with Elik Aalmanner and DK eventually, more so DK, because he's connected with Aalmanner a few times. He's starting to fill out Ridley again. He's starting to fill out Gunnar Helm on these deep paths, because it's really the deep balls and that middle ball down, because he loves to throw that shot down the rails.
Yes.
He loves it, and he could put it in there. That's where
with some heat on it.
Exactly. That's where they need to build more of a rapport, because what you see is a high ball, high hot ball. I see a ball should be caught, but I also see that if they work on that enough,
it should get better.
It should get better, exactly.
Yeah. So from both ends.
From both ends, yeah. So it's a little bit of – I look at it from the standpoint of a player. Like, if I'm sitting in the meeting rooms, what am I hearing and seeing the coaches saying here? Well, I'm hearing these same things that I'm telling everybody. Those are the things that we're hearing. It's like it's everybody. It's not necessarily one individual or one group.
I thought that was great detail by Callahan in that clip we played, that he acknowledged that there's room for improvement, mm-hmm. and that – it is a unique release. When you watch Cam Ward, I'm trying to think, and Adam, you and I had this conversation while the game was going on yesterday. is we're trying to take, because this is the big picture question, trying to take all of the adversity around him right now aside and ask yourself, how good can this kid be? Because everything is riding on him. He's got to get there for this to work. It's going to be hard enough to build the roster from where it is, but it all is predicated on Cam Ward being the guy. I think we've seen enough. He's going to be okay. He's going to be good, but is he going to be really good? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be great? Is he going to be special? And so I think his unique release is going to be something that he's got to continue to refine and get better at. There are times in the game where I feel like that release serves him well, like on, like you talked about, that 47-yard dart. Not a lot of guys can throw it like that. There's another throw that he makes weekly that maybe they should run more, but from under center, it's a 5 or 7 step drop. He'll throw it from the far hash on a laser across. He hits Ridley early in the game on it to get him out of trouble. They were backed up. He throws that like it's easy. That's a hard throw. He throws lasers that way. There are certain throws he makes that are really good, but the touch throws and some of the easy, some I don't want to say easy because he's got tight windows to throw in sometimes. Just a little bit better mechanics. He throws off his back foot a little bit, or he drops his arm angle a little bit, and it's just not quite there, and it has got a lot of heat on it. So that's one I'm looking for, but there's several things that I want to see get better, and that's one of them.
Let's go to Scott on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm calling from Clarksville. In reference to Cam Ward throwing the ball in the ears and touch and all that, I'm just curious, what's y'all's opinion on, didn't Restrepo catch his balls just fine? I kind of want to hear a little bit about that, you know, Restrepo and all of his completions and records in Miami. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Scott. Oh, boy. This is not meant to be disrespectful to Scott at all. Thank you for the call, Scott. I can't
Scott is not alone.
I can't
I feel like we need to
the Xavier Restrepo element of it because Xavier Restrepo.
Is there a fan club? Is there a fan club of the Restrepos?
Because
we get this.
The Streps.
Yeah.
The Streps Rotors. The Streps Rotors.
The Streps, you know. I mean, listen, eventually, if he's meant to be in this at this level, he'll be here.
I think Scott's point is Xavier Restrepo didn't have issues catching these passes. Theoretically.
That's what he said exactly what I was thinking. Like, okay, everybody want to make a big deal, but I didn't hear his receivers at Washington State. Was it Washington?
Washington State
or Miami complain about, you know, he throw hard.
But it's a different
balls.
Game, right? It's a different.
But still,
the speed's different. The window's different. There's more open guys. There's less margin for error.
But that arm strength is still the same.
His release is the same. The velocity at times was the same, right?
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, if
was he more accurate because he had more time?
Yeah,
maybe
that could be a possibility. But
it's a good question.
It is. But yeah. But that's not one
I'm
of the
just,
things.
I'm going by what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
On Sundays,
no,
not
no,
Saturdays.
I understand that part. I never heard like Callahan speak on even when they brought him in on, you know, some even at the beginning, it's like some things that this is what he does well or this is what he don't. You know, he need to taper back.
Well, you said it. You and I at the one of the early days of training camp about the dropping down.
Oh yeah, that sidearm
does hurt him sometimes.
It does.
He's had less success than success when he has dropped down.
No,
you're right. On tip balls, on inaccurate balls, that has hurt him so far.
No.
Just like you thought it would in the training camp.
I think what he has, he's gotten better, and this is going to be an ongoing thing for him. I think for a while, because it's so ingrained on who he is, and it's a good thing that. He's never in a position where he can't throw the football from an arm standpoint. So it's good from that theory. But also, you know, it could get you in trouble, like you said. I just want to see him. I don't want them to say take that away.
Right.
I just want him to, like you said, refine it just a little bit to whereas, okay, it still looks the same, but it's getting over now because maybe he's changed something in that throwing motion.
615-737-1025, if you want to react to the Titans' win against Arizona yesterday. One texter says, There was an earlier drop, in quotations, by Gunnar Helm that looked like Cam had no zip on the ball whatsoever. I wonder if this was the catchable ball conversation getting in his head.
Well, you said that whoever keeps the drops,
PFF.
And it's subjective to a degree, right? We can, like, D-Mace definitely had Eric Iomanner having a drop.
Yes. Two drops for the Titans yesterday, according to Pro Football Focus. One by Tyler Lockett, one by Gunnar Helm.
Right. So if D-Mace was doing it, he would have had at least one more because he had Iomanner. He was texting us going, he got to have that.
You got to have that one. That's a drop.
Right. So Helm did have a drop, I guess was my point when you were saying on the one that the texter is talking about there.
So they just counted Gunnar Helm and
one for
Ritten.
Gunnar Helm, one for Tyler Lockett.
Lockett was an easy one,
and he was
upset with himself away.
That was
on
the easy one.
One listener on our YouTube chat says the Strep Throaters is kind of a wild nickname for this group. I'm going to be honest, Adam. Well, I will take suggestions for
the Xavier.
Well, if his last, it's got to be some play on strep throat.
You
okay?
Want to catch the strep?
I've had strep. It's not great.
Here's another example, yes. Adam, as we close. Because you talked about something yesterday. You brought this up on the air before. We wish we could see velocity of each
I am
passer.
Dying to know.
And football has been played for 100 years. And when I was growing up as a kid, in baseball, they had some early. They didn't have every pitch on the scoreboard, how fast it was. Now they do. Of course, now they even have the movement, how many inches it's moving, vertical, horizontal, all that. But way before, they at least had the miles per hour.
Yeah.
It's way back 40 years ago they had that. But in football, they have never put the velocity of a passer, he throws.
They would probably have to put a chip in the ball, which I think eventually they will get to.
Could they have a radar gun somewhere on the sideline? I'm curious because, like in hockey now, they track how fast the shot comes in.
Yes.
So there was a play where Iomanner, not the one that D-Mace thought he should have had where he had both hands, he pulled it in, couldn't keep it in there. The guy tried to knock it out last second. I think it went as a pass breakup. They gave the defender the benefit of the doubt. But there was another one where Iomanner is reaching. He gets his fingertips on it. It's a heater. It's exactly the one we're talking about. It's
and
a little bit sidearm. It's a
slant. Caught it.
You thought he should have caught it.
Yes, that one was a drop.
But it wasn't a perfect pass. It was a tight window.
He got both
hands
on it.
And he got both hands on it. So that's the one that they've got to get more connections with that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The connection between receiver and quarterback. They both have to get better. They're both young. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're going to play together for a while, and that part will get better.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I am dying to find out the average velocity of a pass in the NFL. The NFL's got to put a chip in that ball or something because I would love to know if Cam Ward's average pass is faster than the average quarterback in the NFL. If somebody knows where you can find that, please let me know because I am dying to know. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction. Coming up next, the Blue Raiders will take on Missouri State this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com.